Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Oh, you guys are pretty awake. Thanks. Our parsha this week, Lech Lecha, is packed. It has some of our most famous stories, but one that often gets overlooked has to do with Lot. There's a sort of Canaanite civil war, and in the process, Lot, who is Abraham's kinsman, gets kidnapped. Abraham hears about this, and we get to see a side of Abraham we don't see very often, but actually is pretty prevalent in the Bible. Abraham is known for being a great warrior. He's a general, in fact. And when he hears Lot is kidnapped, he musters his forces, and of his people, he's got 318 soldiers. 318 soldiers, and they march to try and get the king who kidnapped Lot. And they go from Hebron, which is in southern Israel. They march and chase this guy all the way to the north of Syria. And then when they finally catch up together, Abraham wins completely. Abraham and his forces get back every slave, every woman, every child that was kidnapped. They get back all the stuff that was taken, and they get back Lot. Then when they return, something equally profound as it is confusing happens. When they get all the way back to Hebron, it says they're met by a king named Melchizedek, which should be our first clue that something's going on here. Because not often do non-Jewish kings get a name like Melchizedek. Melchizedek means the just or righteous king. Melchizedek meets Abraham in Hebron with a feast of food and wine. Not terribly surprising. But then the text tells us that this man, Melchizedek, is not just a king, but he's a priest. And he's not just a priest, he's a priest to El Elyon, God Most High, which is the name for the Jewish God, the one true living God. It should sound familiar. It's in our Amidah, it's in Aleinu, El Elyon. What's more is Melchizedek then chooses to bless Abraham and blesses Abraham by the name of God that Koneh Shamayim V'aretz, that creates the heaven and the earth. That's also the Jewish God. Around then, at least as I was taught in Hebrew school, everyone's worshiping idols. There's a God for everything. The God who created heaven and earth, the one God who created it all, that's supposed to be Abraham's innovation. And then it gets even stranger because Abraham now has the spoils of war and gives Melchizedek a tenth, which is the exact amount you're supposed to give to a Jewish priest if you've won a war as a Jew. So who is this man? The rabbis sort of answer. They ask a slightly different question. Their concern is that priesthood is hereditary. It's handed down through the father. Father's son, father's son, father's son. And it's handed down through the tribe of Levi, which is the great-grandson of Abraham. But if Melchizedek is a priest of El Elyon, how do the descendants of Abraham get the priesthood? The descendants of Melchizedek should get the priesthood. And so the rabbis give us two possibilities. One is that what's really going on here is that Melchizedek made a pretty big mistake. When he comes to bless Abraham, he blesses Abraham first and then blesses God. And no one gets blessed before God. So at that moment, with that mistake, the priesthood is ripped from Melchizedek and put into the line of Abraham, down to Levi, down to Aaron. Answer two is that when Melchizedek sees Abraham, he is so moved by how amazing this person is, the faith he must have, the general, the warrior, the charisma he inspires, that Melchizedek gives the priesthood to Abraham. Neither of these really answer what I think is the core question, which is, who is Melchizedek? Who is this man who seems to at least be contemporary, if not predate Abraham, and yet worship the God that Abraham is supposed to teach everyone to worship. What's more, he's from the same town as Abraham. It's not even like far away. They lived in the same area. The answer that I come to is one that at least makes sense for how I lived my life, have experienced innovation. And throughout time, in fact, anytime something major has changed, the person who did the changing has influences. Someone taught him or her. Someone inspired him or her. It seems extraordinarily likely, the more I think about it, that Abraham is not the only one who came to the conclusion that we come to every week here in services, that there is one God who created it all. That Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, that our God is one God. In that case, Melchizedek is here as a reminder that each of us is always working on something, working hard or feeling good that we are the ones who are going to share with the world our special talent, our secret, the idea that we've come up with, whatever it is. But Melchizedek is a reminder that at some point you're going to meet someone who's going to say what you think, but say it better than you heard it the first time. Who's going to tell you what you already know, but tell it to you in a way you never thought of before. Who's going to take the thing that you thought you were the best at and teach you something about it. Melchizedek is here at this point in the service to remind each of us to try and keep our ears and eyes open, to approach the world as Abraham did. Because you never know who else is going to be a priest of El Elyon. You never know when you're going to find someone who's going to teach you what you thought you already knew, but teach it to you better. So this Shabbat, I wish us open eyes, open ears, open hearts, so that we might find the Melchizedek of our world. Shabbat Shalom.